We're back on the game. What a beautiful day. Beautiful day it is, all the way around.
What were you doing before the show?
I mean, what was I doing before the show?
Go back to being usual, John.
Why? I'm still pretty cynical. I mean, we got plenty of stuff coming up here. At 5:10, we're going to talk about why West Virginia's last possession last night should seem awfully familiar. I've got some K-State into the season quick hitters at 5:25. I'm sure I could get cynical there. We've got stuff. Maybe not necessarily this segment. I'm going to get to Oklahoma State's basketball hire here in a moment. And at 4:50, I've got some thoughts about Chris Mack and Xavier. They were impressive, certainly, last night. You know, Mitch has been saying it in the updates, but K-State baseball starts their first Big 12 series tonight at Texas. And I did have just a couple thoughts I wanted to get out there about K-State baseball. I won't spend a ton of time on this necessarily, but I would like to say that I think a lot of people have started to realize teams had a very optimistic start here to the season. They're 15-6. They have a win over South Carolina, who was a top-five team at the time. They've done a lot of really nice things. They are four games ahead of where they were at this point last year, 21 games through. It's actually their best start since 2010. Think about the time that covers. I mean, that's multiple regional teams. That's the Big 12 championship team. They've got that win over a top-10 team. They're leading the league in home runs with 24. And just in some conversations with Matt and Brian, who have been doing the games for a long time, they can not remember a time when K-State was even close to leading the league in homers through 20-plus games. They've got a freshman leadoff hitter who's leading the league in hits. They've got two borderline dominant arms in the bullpen, and Nick Jones and Jordan Floyd, two of the three starting pitchers right now, have sub-3 ERAs. They're 7-1 in one-run games when they won just three all of last year. There are a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this team at this point in time. But tonight is when we start to find out just how legit it is. And this weekend, we start to find out just how legit it is. And not that this one series is the be-all, end-all of anything. I don't want to spin it like that. But here's the reality of the situation that's coming up. They have a really, really difficult start to the Big 12 schedule, because after Texas, the next three series are going to be against TCU, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech. Oklahoma State has been a little disappointing this year, but TCU's third in the country. Texas Tech is fourth in the country. So you can see how things would get dicey pretty fast if you don't perform well at Texas this weekend. That makes this a much more important series.
You're basically hoping that you can win one out of three against TCU and Texas Tech. And
even Texas, I mean, you just can't get swept. That's really a general rule of thumb. You're going on the road in the Big 12, you can't get swept, and then at home you want to try and go and win series. That's typically how you would look at it. But this, I guess my point would be here, Texas has struggled. They're 0-3 in the Big 12. They got swept by Texas Tech at home. They're in a weird period right now because they've had Augie Garrido, who was all based on pitching and playing to their giant ballpark that has an equally giant name, UFCU Dish Falk Field. Now they've got this new coach in, David Pierce, who's a young up-and-coming guy. He's a little more geared towards some power-hitting, bopper type of stuff, and they're still not hitting it very well, pitching fairly well, but record's not great, 14-10, 0-4 in the Big 12. I mean, it's there for the taking. It's setting up well for this to be a nice launching-off point for the Big 12 season. But we're going to find out if this is going to stick through Big 12 play for this team.
And I was asking you before the show, if K-State wins this series at Texas, not necessarily sweeps it, but if they win two out of three, how fair is it at that point to start talking about this team potentially as an NCAA regional team?
I would say still, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, because again, TCU's in town next week, then you got to go to Oklahoma State, then you're right, playing Texas Tech. I mean, at Oklahoma's even ranked. They've been surprising in kind of the opposite way as like a Texas has been to this point of the year. The Big 12 is brutal. I mean, it's a tough baseball league, and that's why I say be cautiously optimistic right now. But this is a big opportunity for them going to Austin. I'm looking forward to listening to as much as I can over the weekend. Matt Walters, Chris Brown are going to have the call. 6:34 and 3, I believe, are the game times. Is that correct, Mitch? 6:34, 3?
I think Sunday's 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, okay. 6:34 and then 1 o'clock, the game times, and you can catch them on K-Manuel at pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock. Oklahoma State did not hire Doug Gottlieb.
Too bad.
Speaking of forgetting names, Boynton is this guy's last name? What is his first name? Like, I don't even know the name.
I figured that we would have that in front of us.
Well, I should have, but I had the baseball stuff pulled up, and now I...
Let's see. OSUMBB.
This is great radio, what we're doing
it's
right now.
It's Mike Boynton.
Mike Boynton.
You know what? Maybe this was all a plan because it makes the point of what Oklahoma State did with their hire. It is not going over too well with Oklahoma State fans. He was an assistant on Brad Underwood's staff. He was on Frank Martin's staff at South Carolina after being a holdover from Darren Horn, who was the coach before Frank at South Carolina. He then moved with Brad Underwood to Stephen F. Austin and came to Oklahoma State when Brad Underwood took the Oklahoma State job. Now they're just basically pulling a Frank Martin type of move and elevating an assistant up. This comes right on the heels of news that Jeffrey Carroll is going to test his NBA draft stock after Juwan Evans had said that he is going to the NBA. Phil Forte is graduating. I mean, to me, this screams, I mean, they're hoping that he can go keep perhaps Jeffrey Carroll around, keep the recruiting class intact. And the other thing everyone will point to quickly here is that this is why you don't want to go make a coaching change right now, because there's just not any good candidates out there. And I understand why people say that. I'm not sure that I would totally get on board with this being definitive proof that there are not any good candidates out there. I mean, Mike Holder did just mess up. I'm not saying Mike Holder is totally competent, but he has his faults, and we just saw them with what happened in the Brad Underwood negotiations. Does that then mean that you're extremely confident that Mike Holder handled the search the best that he could, that he made the best decision that he could in this scenario? I would just like to know all the ins and outs, all the details, who they reached out to, who would have turned it down. Did they go try a guy like Steve Forbes, who's an up-and-coming mid-major coach? How many of those doors did they knock on before they arrived here at this?
I'm with you, and I think that this hire is probably good news for the rest of the Big 12. I mean, I don't see this working out well for Oklahoma State, and I don't totally say that just because I hadn't heard of the guy before today, but the reason why that is significant is because if you've been around as an assistant for Frank Martin for a few years and then Brad Underwood for 3 years and at Oklahoma State for a year, you would think that your name would have started to get a little bit warmer as a potential candidate for the next up-and-coming coach if that is how people legitimately saw you. But this guy did not have any of that noise around him whatsoever. So he may have success at Oklahoma State, but I think that the safer bet would be OSU basketball going back down to what it was before this year, at least for the next couple of years.
It's not going to sell tickets right on the surface.
No, it's not.
Maybe if he's able to get Jeffrey Carroll back and they pitch that they're going to build a team around him. I mean, he took incredible strides this past year as a player and was one of the better players in the Big 12, better swingman type of guys in the league. But I can't see how you're able to spin that into excitement. They're going to have to win and really prove it first, I would think, with this guy. And it looks like it may be a tough road for him to make that happen right away in year one. Yeah, this is pretty surprising. And to me, the only thing that compares really is the Frank Martin hire. At the time, in a lot of ways, that was done just to maintain the recruiting class and trying to keep the momentum going. This seems like a half-hearted attempt to try and keep the momentum going that they had with Brad Underwood there in Stillwater and hoping that eventually this will pay off. It's like taking a risk, but in a way, less of a short-term risk because you may keep some of the talent along, but probably more of a long-term risk than going with like a young up-and-coming guy who's already been a head coach. I can totally understand why Oklahoma State fans would not like this, and I would bet that they did not do their due diligence in all the different ways that most of us probably would here, which makes me kind of reject the notion that, hey, this is proof that K-State should not be making any move with their head coach because there's nobody out there. I'm going to reject that notion.
It is a smaller sample size because it's social media, but the tweet that they put out when they hired him has 166 replies to it.
Oh, those were great.
I've
started reading some of them. Yeah.
They are not great. A couple of them that I've seen in there, you know, came from guys that said they were 30-year season ticket holders and they're done. They're not renewing their tickets next year. Also got a couple of these memes that made their appearance as well. So, yeah, the fans, I mean, you would think that for a guy that was on their staff that there would be some people standing up for him and wanting to give him a chance. And maybe those people are out there, but not a whole lot of them.
We could be dead wrong. Maybe they hit it out of the park. I don't know. But for now, this is not one that's going to win the press conference,
no,
so to speak, for Oklahoma State. We've got at 5:10 why the West Virginia last possession last night should look fairly familiar. Plus, we'll make fun of me. But when we come back, what do Chris Mack and Greg Marshall have in common? I'll tell you on the game.